The World Tomorrow. Ambassador College presents Garner Ted Armstrong, bringing you the plain truth about today's world news and the prophecies of the world tomorrow.
And greeting friends around the world. Well, almost anyone would admit to you the world is in a wretched mess, but they're not quite sure how it got this way, and they're not quite sure what to do about it. And people are good and sick and tired of hearing about the mess and the bad news and the problems and the no solutions and the promises of more and worsening problems in the future, but without hearing any good news along with it. Well, it's about time you began to realize there is a purpose being worked out here below, that all of these seemingly unrelated patchwork crazy quilt events here and there around the world that seem to threaten the very survival of humankind do, believe it or not, and I can prove that statement, fit into an overall pattern, an overall purpose that is being worked out, and out of it all is going to come a virtual utopian era of peace, of prosperity, of the absence of sickness and disease, of even better weather patterns, of a solution of the population explosion, a world of one government, one law, one language, one religion. A world of solutions to all the problems that trouble and enervate and exhaust and confuse and frustrate mankind today. Now, maybe you think I'm just talking about an Alice in Wonderland or a Wizard of Oz Disneyland fairy tale that is going to bring you some new prediction about a one-shot vaccine for a fetus before it's born to lengthen his lifespan and to cure him of every ill he could possibly contract in his 90 or 100 or 150-year lifespan that science promises to give him. I'm talking of nothing of the kind. Today, the world is reared before its idolatrous eyes the false image of science. It is made out of science a virtual god to which it prostrates itself. The modern Dagon of the world is science. The average layman would tell you he believes that science has disproved that there is a god. The average person would tell you he looks to medical science for the preservation of his physical body, to get somebody else's kidneys instead of his own if his own give out on him. That he looks to the life sciences for the explanation of his origin and for the explanation of his destiny. That he looks to historians and anthropologists to tell him all about mankind and where mankind came from and maybe where mankind is going. And then, of course, he looks to the various material physical sciences to supply him with an ever more dazzling, endless assortment of mechanical playthings, gadgets, and toys, and of all of the pleasure-producing and the work-saving devices of today that are supposed to make our lives more happy and filled with a greater sense of interest and excitement, and to give us all the pleasures, the laxity, the luxury, the ease that we want. And so people are prostrating themselves before a god of materialism, before a god of science, before the exalted god of higher knowledge and of education. Well, it's about time you began to realize none of this is getting us anywhere, because the leaders of this world that have made the world what it is today are the educated of the world. They're the chic, the cultured, the scholars, the pedants, the politicians, the military leaders, the product of our exalted higher institutions or educational institutions of higher knowledge or of higher learning, as we like to call it. And the world is experiencing not only a population explosion, but a knowledge explosion today. The proliferation of knowledge, the increase of knowledge, the acquisition of knowledge of a scientific and technological bent. This is occurring at a fantastic rate, and it's been stated that 90% of all scientists who have ever walked the earth, who have ever lived, are alive today. That, in other words, the growth in the scientific field is by such leaps and bounds that there are such fantastic numbers of thousands of scientists alive today that it's 90% of all those who have ever lived. And so people increasingly look to science to rescue them from their own fate. They just refuse to come to grips with the realities and the problems of this modern age. They refuse to try to appraise it in any calm and logical manner. They refuse to think about it because they are certain that somehow, somewhere, some will-o'-the-wisp, momentarily escaping problem that they can't quite reach or grasp, that constantly, just eludes them, that they can't find, is going to be found by science. And that, well, they're always used to seeing the hero come thundering across the plain at the last moment, They're accustomed to the motion picture serial where good always triumphs in the end. They see how the heroine was rescued from the clutches of the villain at the last moment, and they see what happened in World War II. The British people are pretty much convinced that since Sir Winston Churchill came out of virtual seclusion, was called by King George to put together a new government, and they see what happened during World War II, that Winnie, as they affectionately called him, with his famous V for Victory sign and his ever-present cigar, sort of bolstered them up and helped keep the English people together and the British spirit strong during the time before even America jumped into the fray with all of American industry. And they say, well, some great leader will come along. He always has. Science and technology and industry are going to rescue us. They always have. There isn't going to be any further problem. We're not going to go into absolute anarchy and chaos. But, you know, it sounds like people are sort of trying to convince themselves of something that they don't really believe. It's like a child sort of whistling in the dark, you know, walking down a darkened street, and he's a little fearful as to what's behind the bushes, and he's got his hands in his pockets, and he's whistling a tune to himself. That's about the way a lot of modern mankind sounds in their claims that they expect at the last moment a great leader to save them. Well, they expect science to save them. They get sick, they expect science to come up with a vaccine. They get in an accident, they expect a doctor to operate. If they get in financial problems, they expect the banks and the lending agencies and the insurance companies to come to their aid and to bail them out. Let somebody else do it. Let George do it, this great false god of education, of science, of modern technology, is going to come to our aid and save us at the last death knell of society, at the last moment, the sort of Cinderella-like escape, just as the clock strikes 12. Well, my friends, it's not going to happen that way. It just is not going to happen that way. This world is, as I said at the beginning of this program, in a wretched mess. It doesn't take any scholar to come up with that conclusion. We're in the midst of a mounting vortex of crime. We're in the middle of a growing dissolution of morals, of the growing destruction of the home. We're in the midst of a worldwide crime wave where criminal nations threaten one another. We're in the midst of the stockpiling of atomic and hydrogen bombs, all the while talking about disarmament and talking about getting rid of these fantastic stockpiles of weapons. When the average citizen is not told the truth, he's not told that if peace were to break out today, war would be the result. The average hippie or beatnik with his make love, don't make war sign, or his ban the bomb sign, or paddling his kayak out to a nuclear submarine to harass the captain of the visiting vessel, maybe in Scotland or someplace, is not really told and apparently doesn't understand that if all the big powers were to immediately disarm, that if they were to literally bury at sea all of the bombs and to close down all the military organizations, and to completely demobilize all of their armed forces and to turn all industry into making tools and productive utilities and utensils instead of machines of war, that it would so shake and so totally stifle and strangle the economies of the big powers of this world that it would mean they would have to go to war to give their clamoring populaces the kind of standard of living to which they become accustomed. Why, when Secretary of Defense McNamara tries to close down one or two bases, the people who live around in the little satellite industry scream their heads off about it. They say, sure, we want peace. Oh, yes, we want to close down military bases. We want to see the boys in the uniforms come home. But close down somebody else's base, they say. Shut down somebody else's Air Force. Take away somebody else's serviceman's club or somebody else's military base. Because, you see, they might reason, I operate this cleaning establishment and I get good business from these boys on the base. Or I occupy these 2 or 3 or 6 or 8 or 10 bars. Or I occupy or I use or own and operate these service stations. Or I'm the person that sells them all their booze or their candy or their pictures to send home or what have you. All these little satellite industries around a military base. So they want to get theirs while they're getting as good, and they don't want it closed down. Well, that's only a part of the problem. If you could begin to imagine, by just admitting to yourself that the biggest industry today is space and aerospace and space technology, and that the defense industry itself is the giant lion's share of the modern economy, and that this is what virtually is keeping the nation going. When I speak of the nation, I mean the United States, but that's true to a great extent in most other major countries. It's true even in Russia. It's true in other nations, even such as China, where they're making the vast mistake of spending so much money on the military organization and on development of an atomic bomb that their people are starving to death. The problems are insoluble, my friends. The population explosion is listed as absolutely insoluble. And they say now that in just a very few years, by 1975, millions upon millions are going to be starving to death. There are five separate causes by which humankind can be obliterated and put off this earth, absolutely annihilated, rendered extinct. And yet, people like to kid themselves. It's not that bad. It's not real. They don't like to think about it. They think that science is going to come to their aid, and they think that there is certainly going to be some last-minute, breathtaking escape, just like Cinderella, or like the last moment when the hero comes charging in out of nowhere to save the lady who was screaming on the balcony. And that everything is going to be just fine. Well, in a way, they're right, but not in the way that they think at all. The U.S. News and World Report summed it up in a rather mysterious way. They said, after trying to take the pulse of the entirety of the world and more or less backing off to analyze all the conditions that now beset this war-weary, sin-sick, strife-filled world of ours, that the only solution in sight, they said, was the need for a strong hand from someplace to come along and rescue us from ourselves. Now, I paraphrase their statement. But that is exactly right, and that's precisely what must happen. So when I tell you there is a great purpose and a plan being worked out here below, I'm not just telling you that to hear myself say it. It's a fact, and I have the proof. And I have that plan right here before me. And I know there is a great step-by-step series of events, a point one, a point two, and a point three program of how all these events right now are fitting into a great overall purpose. And how you can understand that purpose and how it is being fulfilled. And that purpose is revealed. It's knowledge that cannot be obtained in a scientific laboratory. It's knowledge you cannot obtain by searching your own heart and mind. You can't look inside your own brains for the answer to these problems. They're not going to be found there. World leaders don't have the answers to the problems of today. They don't know the way to peace. This answer must be revealed, and that is in the source of all revealed knowledge. The very foundation of true knowledge that answers the biggest questions of all. What is mankind? And why is man on the earth? What is his life all about? What is this experience we call life? Why is man in many different races? Why does he have different languages and live on different continents and in different countries? Why the course of all recorded history? Why is ethnology, anthropology, history, and geography? Why all of these things? The studies of the very development of the human race. Does it all fit? Does it make sense? Is there some ultimate outcome? Is there some ultimate goal toward which mankind is to strive? Or is it all a meaningless, purposeless, sort of senseless, directionless matter of caprice? A bizarre accident that we're so many quivering worms that are here today and gone tomorrow, and we might as well just try to please ourselves. Oh, no, there's a great purpose to it all. But it's about time you shook the cobwebs out of your head and blew the dust off your Bible and found out what that purpose is, because that's where the purpose is contained. And you can prove, regardless as to all of the crazy ideas of the skeptics to the contrary, that there is a great God Almighty. And that that great God is a ruling creator being who is a specific literal personality who dwells in a specific place, who is working out his great purpose here below. And that great God reveals to you the very meaning of human experience in the Bible. He reveals the purpose in human life. He shows you why man was put on this earth. He shows you precisely what he is doing. He says it is possible to prove his existence by looking at the material creation. He says it is possible to prove the unseen, the invisible, the hidden things of God, by looking at the visible, the physical, created, tangible things that you can see around you. And once you prove God exists, and you come to know it, and to know that you know it, and to know that the Word of God is absolutely true and unshakable and factual, Then you will have open to your knowledge and understanding the clear, simple, plain truth. The explanation that makes sense and comes just as clear as it could possibly be about the whole meaning of the shape of today's world and the course of modern man. And the outcome is given to you, and it is good news. There is going to come good news for the world tomorrow. There is going to be a world of peace. There will be a world of rehabilitation, of reconstruction, of rebuilding, of the solution of the deeply divisive problems that nettle and antagonize men today. There will be a solution to the arms race, to the population explosion, to the dividing problems of race and religion, to all the mounting crime and the growing divorce. There will be solutions to the terrible problems that cause such beleaguerment of downtrodden nations and peoples today, and the squalor and the poverty, the sickness, the disease. Now I'm talking to people who in the main are unhappy people, and my mail proves it. When I look at the mail, at the excerpts that come in, I find that people are today sick as never before. That hundreds upon hundreds of thousands and millions of unhappy, suffering people, even in the Western world of so-called affluence, of the half-nations where 6% of the population wallows and revels in 50% of its wealth, and yet so many people are absolutely sick. Their bodies ache and hurt. They've got arthritis. They've got horrible sickness and disease. They've got all kinds of debilitating infirmities. And they're shut-ins and they're recluses. I find that growing loneliness is all by itself a vast problem in this carnal, dog-eat-dog, God-rejecting, God-defying, sin-sick Western world, which we like to call the bastion of Christianity. I find that divorce and marital infidelity and unfaithfulness of creepy husbands slinking out of their homes at night to somebody else's wife and vice versa, of teenagers with a virtual explosion of venereal disease in the teenage bracket, of the fact that the 15-year-olds now present the most serious problem in crime of any age group, and 16 is just barely behind them. All of these things, you look at what's happening in our Western world and you ask yourself, are we going to show the rest of the world how to be free? We're going to show the Chinese how to live, are we? We're going to take this kind of a culture of heroin and dope and LSD and glue sniffing and hippies and beatniks and dropouts and hooliganism and race riots and violent demonstrations and flagrant defiance of law and preoccupation with the rights of the criminal and obsession with violence and sloppy, swill-filled, rotten, dirty pornography, and we're going to export this to the rest of the world? What are we going to do? Make the Japanese live the way we do? What are we going to do? Insist that the Chinese adopt our way of life before we'll be happy with them? Insist they start divorcing and teaching their kids how to kill their parents? What are we going to do? Try to export our way of life around the rest of the world? You know, Africans of a different religion than the so-called Christian religion couldn't understand us. Black Africans. They said, look, you white people in the Western world, you try to tell us about a God, and I'm talking now from the standpoint of the broad overall approach to religion in the Western world, and you try to tell us about this God and about Christ and about that we ought to live like you folks do. We ought to live like Christian people. And yet all we can see in your Christian world is riots and strife and crime and divorce, and everybody's at everybody else's throat. And all we can see is war. And all we can see is that on the European continent, here were Catholics and Lutherans and Episcopalians against Catholics, Lutherans, and Episcopalians. Now, which God heard which prayer is the question that some of these Muslims and some of the others want to know. They say, well, yeah, but weren't there Catholics on both sides of the fence? Now, here's a woman. She goes in to pray that her son will not be killed in battle. Well, so does somebody else, and maybe she speaks German, and the second one speaks English. Well, is God going to hear both prayers, and if so, how can he? It's a perplexing problem. So whether it's Jew, Catholic, Protestant, whether it's non-denominational, whether it's Christian in the broad sense of the word, or whether it's Muslim, or whether it is Shintoist, or Taoist, or Confucianist, or Buddhist, or what have you, religion doesn't have the answer. Religion has not yet brought the world peace. That is, the religions of this world. But God Almighty, who does exist, is going to bring in and to usher into this world his one true religion, and he's going to finally bring the world peace. And he's going to do it through force of arms, because God Almighty is coming to put down carnal human rebellion and to rule this world with a rod of iron. Now, people don't like to believe that. It makes them mad sometimes to even hear it said, but they're going to have to hear it said because it's the truth. And the focal point of all Bible prophecy is found in Matthew 24. And in that prophecy of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he admitted the world was going to get to the place just exactly as it is today. He showed how you would be living in a time of wars and rumors of more wars, and we've had more than 40 of them since World War II. And now we're engaged in another violent war that threatens to break out into a mass land war in Asia. And other wars are in the offing. And other troubled spots are steeping and simmering, always just beneath the surface. And the average person is totally unaware of what is happening in Central Europe. And what the Kennedy Round talks mean. And what Britain's attempt to enter the common market means. And what it means to see that Kurt Kiesinger got from President Johnson at the funeral in Cologne, Germany, recently, the concession that from now on, Mr. Johnson is first of all going to consult with the German coalition government before it makes any decision involving European policy. That's all but saying that you're going to get his permission. When people find out what is really happening inside Central Europe and what is happening in the emerging of a third power bloc with Germany at its head, and find out what the architects of the new Europe of World War II and beyond have actually planned undercover and behind the scenes, they are going to be staggered. And yet every bit of that is in Bible prophecy as well. The big powers are identified in the Bible. The United States is identified. Britain is identified. So is Germany, and so is Russia. And so are the rest of the big powers of this earth. And Bible prophecy tells you the outcome to these incredible events that right now fill your newspapers, that fill up all of your local news. Now, people write and tell us how weather is putting on an agonizing display. They got spring blizzards across the wheat belt and an absolute drought in Florida. That's in the United States alone. Need I remind you of the horrifying agony of the long, prolonged drought they had in Australia, then of the devastating fires in Tasmania, of the terrible drought they had in South Africa, of the terrible display that weather has been putting on around the world. People are wondering, what's going on? Jesus Christ also foretold that. He said at the very same time you'd be living in a time of wars and rumors of wars, you would see growing disease epidemics, you would see famine, and he said pestilence. And here we are being told that in the next very few years, and it's beginning to happen right now because 12,000 people died today, my friends, from starvation. 12,000 died today. 12,000 will have died by tomorrow. 12,000 and some odd more by the next day. And so on, and it's gradually increasing. But they say in the next few years in 1975 and beyond, you will be hearing of millions dying of starvation in famine. And you can't ignore that that is going to come crushing in on you where you live. I don't care whether you live right now in Poughkeepsie, New York, or Pasadena, California, or Bloemfontein, South Africa, or Sydney, or Perth, or Manchester, or Liverpool, or London. You're going to see the food and the water that you depend upon gradually taken away from you in the years ahead. Yes, you are. You're going to find famine and drought striking at the very vitals of the affluent Western nations. That also is in Bible prophecy. And you can bank on that, you can count on that, that's going to occur. But there is a way out. There is a way of escape. There is a way of protection for you and your loved ones. And there is a way of protection and escape for the entirety of the world if we would only turn to it and find what it is. If you want a booklet that is not going to ask you to join something or get on the bandwagon for this or that, but a booklet that is fully illustrated all the way through that makes sense as nothing you have ever read does out of today's senseless world, that puts it all together in a calm appraisal of exactly what this world is like, how it got this way, what the big minds and the really educated and intellectual people claim is going to happen. Here are the two views presented in this booklet, and it's by the title of this very radio program, The Wonderful World Tomorrow, What It Will Be Like. It appraises the view of science. What are your chances of science coming to your 11th hour rescue? And in the words of scientists, anthropologists, historians, the people to deal with it, themselves. People such as Dr. Kahn, who was the head of the Hudson Think Institute along the river there, the sort of a brain trust of Think Factory people who are trying to come up with some new method by which the world could achieve peace. Then you take a look at the conditions that are really on the earth today, and then you see exactly what the Bible says will occur. And you see how step by step those events are right now unfolding in your news. It will make sense out of and right you and help your thinking to really be clarified in the light of these unbelievable events that are striking the world today by reading this booklet with its full color illustrations and absolutely free of charge and no price for it. It's entitled The Wonderful World Tomorrow, What It Will Be Like. And I might also add, this booklet tells you better than anything else I could offer you exactly what the World Tomorrow program is all about, what Ambassador Colleges are all about, what we're trying to do, what we stand for, what we believe, what is the very basis of our belief and our conviction, why we're on the air in the first place, what we're trying to tell you. This booklet tells you better than I can in many broadcasts exactly what we're all about. It's entitled The Wonderful World Tomorrow, What It Will Be Like, and it is without charge. There is no price for it. Now, also inside of it is a could be. This is a fictitious. It is not an actual newspaper. I see where one person actually thought that it had already happened somewhere. And yet it's written in such language that you will think that for a few moments of your time, that you have been whisked ahead in future time on into the world the way it will be, and that you are already reading in retrospect of total disarmament, of a renaming process, of re-education, rehabilitation, of actually the worldwide taming even of wild animals, of different weather conditions, of great celebrations as a result of this new world of peace. You will for a few moments be projected forward in time into the conditions of peace and prosperity, plenty and happiness that we're talking about on this program. And you can have that. It comes as an insert in the booklet. It's in every one of the booklets. A could-be newspaper. It's in this booklet, The Wonderful World Tomorrow, What It Will Be Like. And it is free of charge. Now, these booklets I've announced continually, in case you've just tuned in and are a new listener, of Does God Exist? And the proof of the Bible are vitally important. It shows you there is scientific proof that there is a God, and Bible prophecy is true, and especially the one on the proof of the Bible showing you the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. And next time I'll be coming to the fulfillment of many Bible prophecies, including all those surrounding the birth, the ministry, and the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and showing you how fulfilled prophecy is the sixth of the seven major proofs that God Almighty does exist. And that is scientifically proved. Now, in the current number, also of the Plain Truth magazine, articles every number about the proofs of God, but in this one is also the end of the Adenauer era and what it means for the future of Europe in the current number of the Plain Truth magazine. The article on the pesky familiar ant and how it has caused some of the most embarrassing admissions that evolution has ever made. The article on pollution, the tragedy of our polluted planet, and the one on Be a Loving King in Your Family Kingdom about family relations. It's free of charge, no price, if you write to Herbert W. Armstrong, Box 111, Pasadena, California. That's Herbert W. Armstrong, Post Office Box 111, Pasadena, California. Be sure to tell us the call letters of your station, and remember, we're on the same station, the chances are, every day at this time, so listen to every broadcast. The address again in just a moment. Until next time, this is Garner Ted Armstrong saying goodbye, friends.
You have heard The World Tomorrow. Send your letters to Herbert W. Armstrong, Post Office Box 111, Pasadena, California.